Is that my turn now? Michael, did you turn it on? He said, "Oh." Waiting for the signal from the booth. All right. Good morning, everyone. Glad to have you here for morning praise at Liberty Baptist Church. Beautiful day. I enjoy the actual fall-ish kind of weather. So enjoy it because it won't last very long in this part of the country. We go straight into winter pretty soon after that. So thank you for being here this morning. We got more prayer requests. We want to remember the individuals that are sick. Little Mr. Rhett is home, so continue to pray for him, though, doing a little bit better. Thank you for that update. So let's pray for him. Pray for others. You may know that there was about 32 apartments burned up Friday night, Saturday morning in Prattville. So a bunch of families were displaced. Nobody was injured. A few pets died, but keep those individuals in your prayers. We have an election coming up, if you didn't know. Continue to pray for our nation and continue to be the salt and light God's called us to be. Make sure you discharge your responsibility and vote. If you cannot physically be present to vote, then please make sure you do vote by absentee ballot. The deadline is, what, the 2nd, November the 2nd, so you need to make sure you get your absentee ballots in. So make sure you do that. Any other announcements we need to hear? I think that's probably all that I can think of. Anything else? Oh, yeah, that's always fun. The backpacks, I think, are all accounted for. If they're not, are we still missing some?
As far as Wednesday, we still have two that were missing.
Okay. How many can you count there now? 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Okay, so we're missing two bags. Hopefully they'll get in shortly. We need to get those taken care of. When are we getting the emergency boxes back? When are they supposed to be back? Did we have a date on that? Okay. Just as soon as you can on that, I'll take them down to the rescue squad and give them to the chaplain when we get those in. All right. One other thing I want to remind you. We talked about it earlier about love is the greatest commandment, and one of the things we can do is wear masks for those that we care about. So please, I want to encourage you to wear your mask coming into the church and wear your mask when you leave the church. You don't have to, obviously, while you're in here because we're socially distancing, but individuals who are still at health risk and are concerned about it are alleviated a little bit by your wearing of masks. So I appreciate you doing that. Any other announcements we need to hear? All right, so those of you watching electronically, make sure you get your kids close to the monitor. We're going to do Kids with a King, and we have a creation moment. Occasionally I'll do those things where we'll highlight a part of God's creation because He is the Creator, and He is very creative in the things that He does. This last week, we had the Autauga County Fair. And the rescue squad worked every night at the fair, did, first aid and parking and other kinds of things like that. There was a guy that has a petting zoo. And he has all kinds of different animals, you know, your regular goats and little miniature ponies and donkeys and a camel and all that kind of stuff. But he also had some other animals, like he had a little crocodile, a little Nile crocodile, about that long, that was getting a lot of attention. But the animal that got by far the greatest attention was this animal right here. Anybody know what that is? It's a lemur. A lemur. That's right. Now, this is not the lemur he had, but it's one just like it. The lemur he had was named Liam. And Liam was 7 months old, and he was a show-off. He would jump on individuals' shoulders. He would climb up your arm. And, you know, he would pose on your shoulder for a picture for $5. Now, I don't know how much of that money Liam got, but probably not very much. But he was a card. Well, lemurs are primates, kin to monkeys and apes. Obviously not exactly looking like them. But lemurs eat a variety of things. Some of them are insectivores. They eat insects. Some eat strictly herbivore. They eat fruit and leaves and that kind of thing. But some of them eat pretty much anything they want. And apparently Liam was like that. So lemurs can be very personable. Even those in the wild, they can act sort of like you know, like puppies do sometimes. So they're interesting creatures. Most of them come from Madagascar and that area. So God created them just like He did every other kind of animal. And you might say, well, does God say anything about monkeys in the Bible? Well, even though a lemur's not really a monkey. But yes, He does in a couple of places. Actually, this is one of them, 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 21. For the king, now the king speaking of here is King Solomon. And you may remember that King Solomon was blessed by God, known as the wisest man in the world. And King Solomon reigned during the golden age of Israel. Israel was at peace, and Israel was prosperous. And here's one of the verses talking about King Solomon's reign. It says, the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the merchant ships came, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and monkeys. So, King Solomon may have had a little lemur running around the palace. We don't know. But all of these things, obviously, God created because He's the creator of all seen and unseen things. So anytime you see some creature that catches your attention and you notice how amusing they may be or how interesting they may be, remember, God created them for a purpose. God created you and I for a purpose as well. And that purpose is to live in relationship and in fellowship to Him and worship Him. God did not die for the lemurs and the monkeys. God died for you because He loves you and desires you to have an eternity with Him. So let's be sure that as we see God's hand in creation, we see the Creator behind that work and understand that He loves us and has given Himself to us that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Michael?
Good morning, church. It's great today to be in the house of the Lord and worship together with God's people. This morning we're going to sing a song in just a minute, but I want to tell you a little bit about, I hadn't heard this song in probably 20 years. But a few weeks ago, Jan's aunt had surgery. It's supposed to be a simple surgery, except for one thing happened. The surgeon poked a hole in Jan's aunt's heart. That night when we went to bed, the last word we got was they may have to do open heart surgery to correct it. But the next morning we got up, Jan got up before I did real early. She had a message on her phone that Aunt Brenda was fine. The surgeon was able to plug the hole, and she'd probably come home tomorrow. Immediately, this song that I had not heard in probably 20 years popped in my head. He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He healed the brokenhearted and He sets the captive free. He makes the lame to walk again and He calls the blind to see. He's able, I know He's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Now that you know it, let's stand up and sing it again all together and bring us in.
He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Again,
He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted and He sets the captives free. He makes the lame to walk again, and He calls the blind to see. He's able, I know He's able, I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
And you're going to be singing that all week this week. Let's hope so. Well, last Sunday.
Amen. Take just a moment, turn around, blow a kiss to somebody behind you, let them know you're glad to see them here today. And then join me as we pray. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. We pray for our nation. Lord, we know that our nation is sick and has been that way for some time. But we pray, Lord, that as we turn to you in repentance and desiring to follow after you, that you will fan the flames of revival in our own hearts, and that through us, those flames will set fire to this nation, that it might indeed turn back and be one nation under God. Help us, Lord, to be the salt and the light that you have called us to be. We pray for your church, Lord, universal, but especially your church here at Liberty, that we would continue to be passionate in pursuing you and faithful in our service. Open our hearts and our minds to the leading of your Spirit. Lord, help us to desire more of you each and every day. As we go through the remaining part of this service today, we pray, Father, that we would be open to the leading of your Spirit, that we would go where you send us, that we would say what you have for us to say, and we would do what you have for us to do. This is your time, Father. We are your people. We seek to honor and glorify you with all that we do and say. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
You're all healthy, so if you can, remain standing. If you get tired, then you can sit. But right now, let's sing it all together. And
my life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, within you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, within you. I will praise you with all of my life. I will praise you with all of my strength. With all of my life, with all of my strength, all of my hope is in you.
Sing it out.
My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, within you. My life is in you, Lord. My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, within you. In you.
Going along that path, let's sing Faith is the Victory, all three verses.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world.
Faith
is a victory.
Faith
is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
And the second.
His banner over us is love, his sword the word of God. We tread the road, the things above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept o'er on every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield.
Faith is a victory.
Faith
is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
And the last.
To him that overcomes the foes, white raiment shall begin. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in hand. Onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name.
Faith
is a victory.
Faith
is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
As we light the candle, we want to continue to remember our military personnel, especially those that may be deployed overseas, and then our first responders as well here at home.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside shines from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
The right language. The right language. How many of you in here have been to Disney World? One of the things, we've been down there several times, but one of the things I've always noticed about Disney World is you encounter all kinds of languages because there's buku people from everywhere all trying to get in at the same time. You know, you may be seated at a table and somebody speaking German over here, speaking, you know, Japanese or Chinese, and you don't know what they're speaking. It's a different language that you don't speak. Last year when I went down to New Zealand, of course, English is the official language of New Zealand, but because of where New Zealand is located in the world, the predominant number of tourists they get in New Zealand are Oriental. They are Japanese and a lot of Chinese. So even though you're in New Zealand, you're liable to bump into somebody that speaks Chinese, you know, Mandarin or Japanese even. So unless you speak that language, you have no idea what they're saying, right? You walk into a restaurant that may be a Chinese restaurant, and their menus are in English, right? And the server probably speaks at least enough English to get your order. But imagine if you walked into a restaurant where the menu was in Chinese. Does anybody in here speak Chinese? Anybody in here read Chinese? What if the server didn't speak English? What would you get to eat? Who knows? Who knows? That's right. Yeah, let me point. This is what I want. That's right. So the right language is imperative, isn't it? To be able to communicate to someone. You got to speak the right language. Now, Jennifer, I know I was going to talk about her, but Jennifer works at the communication center for 911. And you might not realize it, but the dispatchers that work at 911 speak two different languages. They speak police code, because if they're on the police channel, the police like to use their 10 codes. Or an abbreviation of the 10 codes. But if they're on the fire channel, they better not use the 10 codes because the firemen don't know what they're saying. So I heard one dispatcher the other night, she was talking to an engine company and she used a 10 code because she had been on the police channel and she was using a 10 code and she had to correct herself because the fire truck didn't know what she was saying. So we have all kinds of languages, don't we? Even at work, you know, I'm a controls engineer in the paper industry. We have lingo that we think everybody knows what we're talking about. But if you say something, they may not know what you mean. Like a couch, what do you think that is? You think it's a couch you sit on, don't you? But not in the paper industry. It's something to do with a paper machine. It's called a couch. So we have languages. We even have languages within language. You think you speak English, but you don't speak English. You and I speak Southern, don't we? Somebody from the United Kingdom speaks English. We don't speak English. We speak Southern. So it's imperative to have the right language. And you might say, what in the world is he talking about? Well, we're going to see today that God has the right language. If you have your scripture, turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Now, the first three verses will be on the overhead here, but the rest of them are not. So, Psalm 19. This is one of my favorite psalms. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, open our hearts and our minds this morning to your truth and guide us by your Spirit. May I be your instrument here this morning, Lord. I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help us to hear you, Lord, but not just hear. Rather, help us to hear and to obey. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. So, the right language. What are we talking about today? Well, first and foremost, I want you to understand that God speaks your language, no matter what language you speak. Now, when I was growing up, and even after I graduated high school, when I went into college at Troy, English was required. And depending on what grades you had in high school and what you scored on the ACT, you could opt out of the freshman English at Troy and take advanced composition, which is what I did, because I'd a lot prefer writing than I would going through the basic English again. So that's what I did. I took advanced composition. And Dr. Norris told us the first day of class, she said, this is a composition class. You're going to be writing, but you are high school graduates and you are in an advanced composition class. She said, if I get a run-on sentence or a sentence fragment, I will flunk the paper without reading anymore. Because you ought to know how to speak and how to write by this time. Well, everybody doesn't have the same ability, do they, in writing and even in speaking? But the truth is, it doesn't matter your educational level nor what command of what individual language you may have. The truth is, God speaks your language. He hears you. As a matter of fact, Scripture says He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Now, Satan cannot read your mind. Satan is an astute student of human psychology and human actions, but Satan cannot read your mind. You cannot think a thought and Satan know what it is. But you can think a thought and God knows what it is. That ought to be sobering to us, maybe even a little frightening sometimes, because our thoughts may not always be what we want somebody to know. If every thought you ever had was broadcast out in public, that'd be something else, wouldn't it? It's broadcast to God. God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. But He still loves you. He still loves me. And amen, thank you, Jesus, that He does, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Scripture says, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God still loved us. Now, He does not want to leave you there. As a matter of fact, Jesus died for you to have life and have it more abundantly. But He knows where you're coming from. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying. You might say, well, sometimes I'm just so, I don't even know, Lord, what to say. Scripture says that He understands the groanings of our heart. If you don't know what to do, just fall down on your knees and cry out to God, and He understands. He understands. Those of you who have dogs, your dog can read you, can't they? Really? They can. Now, can a dog understand your language? Maybe a few words, but pretty much they can't understand your language, but they can read you. But God knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart, and He loves you. He even understands, now listen to me, He even understands you better than you do yourself. Because I believe, based on Scripture, based on personal experience, based on observation through the years, we can deceive ourselves. We do it all the time. David did it. We can do it all to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. But God knows us really. He knows who. He knows. He sees beyond the mask. Now, Halloween's coming up. And folks, you know, we go, I don't know how much, one of these days I'm going to check and see how much we, as a culture, how much we spend on Halloween. I don't know, but it's got to be a lot. You know, we buy all these masks and costumes. You know, adults go crazy one day out of, well, not just one day, but especially one day out of the year. We dress up and stuff. I remember, now they don't do it too much anymore, but used to at the mill, some of the ladies, the administrative assistants, they dress up for Halloween. They don't let them do that now, but they did back then. They come in with witches' hats on and all kinds of stuff. That's not who you are. But we wear a mask. We wear this mask. But God knows who you are. And God is listening for you. He is listening for you. You ever walked into a big room like a gymnasium or something, and everybody's talking, and it sounds like, that's all you hear, you know. But God can pick you out and hear the thoughts and intents of your heart, hear the cry of your heart in the midst of 300 billion people. Amen. He knows what you need. He knows what you're afraid of. He knows what's coming. He knows who you are better than you do yourself. And He's listening for you. He's listening for you to call out to Him. You know, I've seen these pictures of Africa, like wildebeest and zebras and that kind of thing, and this little wildebeest calf gets separated from its mom, and there's like 1.5 million wildebeest running around, and this little calf starts bleeding or whatever kind of noise they make, and mama shows up. He sounds like all the other little wildebeest to me, but mama picks him out because she's listening for him. God is listening for you. Why do you hesitate? Call out to Him. Call out to Him. Why do we waste time pursuing other things which do not help us? You ever realize we do that a lot, don't we? We try all kinds of stuff to fix the problem. I've had people tell me, you know, preacher, one of these days, I know I need to get in church. I'm going to get my life all lined up and fixed, and I'm going to come to church. Well, you got it all wrong. You don't come to church because you're fixed. You come to church to get fixed. Amen? You come to church because you love God, because He loves you, because you need something. You need to be healed. You need to be touched. You need to be directed by God. Let me ask you, when Jesus went around all these crowds, why do you think everybody flocked to Jesus? Because He was a great preacher? Now, I'm sure He probably was. But I'll bet you most of the people did not flock there to hear Him preach. They flocked there because they needed something from Him. They needed a touch, like the leper. And I love the friends that carried the lame man. He couldn't even get there himself, so his friends toted him on a cot to the house, and they couldn't get in the house. So what did they do? They climbed up the fire escape or whatever on the outside, climbed up to the roof, and tore a hole in the roof and let their friend down in front of Jesus because he needed Jesus. Absolutely, that's faith. But they knew where to go. Go to Jesus. The disciples in the boat, and a storm comes up. Jesus is asleep in the front of the boat. What do? They go wake Jesus up. Because where are you going to go in the storm? To Jesus. He's listening for you. He's desiring for you to come to Him. God speaks your language. Go to Him. He understands. How many times, don't answer this, but how many times have you been in situations where you really wanted to tell somebody about a problem you had or something facing you, but you didn't really do it because you thought they don't really understand? So I'm just not going to say anything. I know you've done this. You meet somebody in the hallway at work or school, and you say, "Hey, how are you doing? Do you really want to know how they're doing?" You're going on to work. You don't want to stop and listen to what their problem is. We say that kind of stuff just to be nice, but God really wants to know. Now, He already does know, but He wants to know that you know that He loves you. He wants to hear from you. Let me tell you, listen to me now. God does not need our prayers. We need our prayers. You hear me? We need to pray. We need to pray. And God knows that we do. And He is ready, willing, and able to listen to our prayers. Somebody told me one time, don't bother God with all those things. What do you mean, don't bother God? God wants to be bothered because it is no bother. Let me ask you, if you are a parent, do you want to be bothered by your children asking you something? Yes, you do. Now I know when they're little, sometimes it can be heavy on you. But as they get grown and they move away, you'd be glad for them to call you. Because you care about them and you want them to know that you care about them. God cares for you. And He wants you to know that He does, and He is listening for you. Secondly, not only does He speak our language, but His words have substance. Now, why do I say this? I say this because so many humans speak so many words that have no substance. Now, we are in an election year, and especially in an election year, and I'm sorry, but this is the truth, there are a million words broadcast that have no substance. You ask a politician something, and you'll get a 30-minute answer that has nothing to do with what you asked. But God's words have substance. Look at verses 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous. God's words are real. They have life, and they endure for eternity. Jesus said, "My words will never pass away." Amen. God's words are life, and He will speak them into you if you will but listen. This is the Word of God. This is not just black ink on white paper between leather bindings. This is the living Word of God. It is alive. It has been alive. It will continue to live, and it will never pass away. Now, you kids, anybody in here under 21 years of age, have you ever seen a World Book Encyclopedia? You have? I am shocked. I grew up with a World Book Encyclopedia. When you had to get a report, where'd you go? to the World Book Encyclopedia, and it had all the information you needed. I thought, that's the definitive source of information. But nowadays, you can't find a World Book Encyclopedia. Do they still publish them? I don't even know if they still do. I don't think they do. They're gone. They didn't stand the test of time. They're replaced by Google or whatever. But the Word of God has withstood the test of time and will be here long after the institutions of man have burned up. So you have a choice. You can listen to the words of man. You can listen to the deceptions of Satan, or you can hear the truth of God. Now, the truth of God's Word is not always going to feel good. But God's Word is perfect, it is sure, it is right, it is pure, it is clean, it is true, and righteous. Can't get any better than that. You want the truth, you go to His Word. You want to know what to do, you go to His Word. You want to know what's right, you go to His Word. You want to know what's pure, you go to His Word. What's clean, you go to His Word. What's true, what's righteous, it's in His Word. You know, used to, you could turn on certain TV channels or certain networks and consider them safe for your children. You better not do that now. It may say family or whatever else, but you better check. Because what used to be considered family, I wouldn't consider it family anymore. Satan has a plan. His plan is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And part of the way he does that is by false information. Because Satan figures if he says it long enough and loud enough and often enough, people will believe him. And they are. They are. By the droves. The end of that road is destruction. Individually or as a nation. If this nation keeps marching down that road, I'm going to tell you where it's going to end. In ashes is where it will end. The United States is not immune. The United States is not exempt from the judgments of God. If we walk contrary to His revealed will, His revealed standards, then we will pay the consequences for doing that. It has happened countless times before and will continue to happen again. If we turn away from the standards, then we will reap the whirlwind. And the destruction will be on a monumental scale. God speaks your language, and His words have substance. We need to listen to them. Let me ask you, is there a difference between hearing and listening? Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is. What's the difference? Listening means not only do I hear what you say, but I am processing what you say, and I am doing something based on what you say. Hearing is when you hear what they say, but you don't pay any attention to what they say. Hearing is when a teacher tells you, take out a pencil and paper. We're going to have a pop test based on what we talked about yesterday. And they say, what did we talk about yesterday? They heard it, but they didn't listen. So thirdly, there is an effect, a cause and effect. There is an effect on us because God hears us and speaks our language and His words have substance. If we listen, there is an effect. And I guess really when you get down to it, if we hear but don't listen, there is an effect as well. But the effect is not what you want. If we hear what he said but don't listen to what he says, then the effect is going to be disastrous. Amen? It's going to be disastrous. You're driving down the highway and traffic's moving at 70 miles an hour. And you see a big orange sign, and it says, right lane closed, 2 miles ahead. You get over? No. I ain't got to get over yet. You keep going. Another orange sign appears, same message, wrote right lane closed, 1 mile ahead. Do you get over? No. You still plugging along at 70 miles an hour in the right lane. Some folks are getting over, but you're still doing your thing. Half mile ahead. 2,000 feet ahead. And all of a sudden, what happens? They have to slam on brakes. The road's closed. Yeah, it's been saying that for 2 miles. Why didn't you get over? And then at the last minute, they want to what? Merge left. Let me in. Because I didn't pay attention to what the sign said for 2 miles, so you need to let me in. And God forgive me, you know what I do? I tailgate the guy in front of me. You're not getting in. You're not getting in. Because it's been telling you for 2 miles, get over. And you didn't do it. You do the same thing, don't you? You don't let them in. Because what do you say? You knew to get over. And you didn't do it. You flew along in front of everybody else. And now you want in. I saw a video the other day. Traffic was going along, and it was pretty heavy. It was morning rush hour. And the guy filming was in a pickup truck. It was a work truck, and he was talking to the guy next to him. They had a dash cam. And, traffic was moving, but it was morning rush. Well, all of a sudden, this little white car flies by everybody in the emergency lane, passing everybody. And the guy in the truck made some kind of comment, which I won't repeat, about here comes this car that's doing that. Well, about three cars in front of the truck was an unmarked state trooper. And when that car come flying by, lights come on in the back window of that police car. And, of course, the guy in the truck was hollering up and having a big time because this guy got caught. Because he knew what he was supposed to do. You need to be at work, you leave early. Well, he wasn't going to do it. You know, we think the world owes us something. Well, it doesn't owe you anything. So there is an effect. If you listen to what God said and change based on what God said, then there are rewards for that. If you don't listen, just simply hear what God said and avoid doing what God said, the results are going to be painful at best. Scripture says that following the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, is more desirable than gold. Now, we like gold, don't we? We like gold. Gold's cool. Gold's good. But gold doesn't last forever. And God says that, as a matter of fact, let's just read it. More to be desired are they. What's they? The words of God, the judgments of God. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. I love honey. Honey's great. I like to put it on a hot biscuit. But God's word is better than gold. It's better than, sweeter than honey. Because it will last. It will be profitable for us through all eternity. God's word warns us ahead of time. It is that orange sign, side of the road, that says merge left, road closed, 2 miles ahead. If we will heed the word of God, it will reward us. I shared this with you guys before, but it bears repeating. Even, listen to what I'm saying now, even a non-Christian, even someone who does not believe in God, if they follow the standards of God's Word, they'll be blessed. Now, don't misunderstand me. If they don't believe in God, if they don't trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they will not be in heaven. But if they follow the standards of God's Word in everyday commerce, in relationships, they will have tangible rewards here and now, because God's Word is just as true as the laws of physics. And following His standards reap rewards, not just hereafter, but here today as well. We did a Bible study at work some years back called Management by Proverbs. And the whole basis of that little book was, if you owned a business, or if you were a manager of a business, if you conducted the affairs of your business in accordance with the wisdom of Proverbs, you would be profitable. And it's true, you will. Because God's Word stands the test of time. God's Word is true. God's Word is righteous. God's Word is profitable if we follow it. It's not just hearing. You know, Scripture says don't be hearers of the Word, but what? Doers of the Word. It is not enough to hear what God said. We have to apply what God said. You see, that's the difference in knowledge and wisdom. Knowing what God said is knowledge. Doing what God said is wisdom. And there is an eternal difference between the two. Wisdom and knowledge. In observance of the Word of God, there is reward. What's the opposite of observance? Disregarding, basically. Disregarding the Word of God brings judgment. It brings judgment. Now listen to what I'm saying and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Our words and our actions are weighed in the balance. Now, our eternal destiny is not weighed in the balance. Now, what do I mean by that? You don't get to heaven or hell based on how good you've been or how bad you've been. The only way we get to heaven is if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. God does not weigh your sins and weigh your good deeds and say if the good outweighs the bad, you get into heaven. That's not the way it works. However, if you are saved, God weighs in the balance for your rewards. And if you are not saved, your life is judged strictly on the balance, and the wages of how much sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The balance will tip on one sin. Our words and actions are weighed in the balance because God keeps up with them. You know, used to you could do crazy, stupid stuff and nobody knew it. You wouldn't get embarrassed. Nowadays, you can't do anything crazy or stupid because what happened? Somebody videoing it. Somebody is videoing it. You have a wreck, somebody videoed it. You do something crazy, somebody videoed it. I saw some stuff the other day that, you know, like a guy had climbed up on a tree to cut off a limb. Now, for real, to cut off a limb, and he was cutting off between him and the tree. He was sitting on the limb he was cutting. Guess what happened? He fell. Now, thankfully, he didn't fall too far, but he did fall. And people laughed because somebody was recording it. I saw a video. This was actually a security camera from a mall, like, you know, like Eastdale or some of those malls, a big indoor mall. And this lady was walking and either texting or playing a game. I don't know what she was doing. But guess what was in the middle of the big atrium of the mall? A big fountain. That's right. Now, anybody sees this fountain, then, well, you need to avoid the fountain, right? There don't need to be a sign that says don't trip over the fountain. You know, the wall's probably as high as this over here. And guess what she did? She fell into the fountain. And then she looked around like, who put the fountain here? She was not paying attention. And her actions had consequences. And everybody saw it, and everybody laughed at her. And she was mad. She threatened to sue the security company because they videoed it. There's a security camera. It's there all the time. Nobody told you to fall in the fountain. There are actions, and there are consequences to our actions. And if we disregard the Word of God, don't be surprised when the world laughs. Don't be surprised when Satan laughs. Because that's what he wants. He wants to see your destruction. So you have a choice. You can listen and obey, or you can discard the Word of God to your peril, as individuals or as a nation. Here is your compass point. God is calling you to Himself. He speaks your language. He knows your heart. He knows your dreams. He knows your fears. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. Have you heard from Him today? More to the point, have you heard, are you listening, and have you responded to Him today? Please, please respond before it is too late. Everybody on 6th Street went to bed with plans for Saturday to watch the Alabama or the Auburn football game, to go to the fair. I don't know what all they had plans for. 32 families. But they were hunting somewhere else to live by 4 a.m. Saturday morning because everything they had and everything they knew burned up just like that. It's gone. Your world can be gone in the flash of an eye. The only thing that will last is your relationship to Jesus Christ. Do you have one? If not, please, before you leave this building today, make sure that you do. I will be up front. I'll have my mask on. I'll be glad to pray with you. You want to pray where you are, whatever you need to do in the next few moments, please make sure before you leave this building that you have heard and are listening to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the living Word. Thank you that you hear our hearts, our cries, our fears, everything about us. And that you love us, even when we're dead in our trespasses and sin, but that you don't want to leave us there. Lord, help us to hear you, help us to listen to you, and then help us to step out in obedience, asking you to forgive us of our sins, to save our souls, and to be our Savior and our Lord from this day forth forevermore. Lord, help us to walk in the way of life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please? The altar is open.
Just as you are here.
receive. Come and live forevermore.
Amen. Thank you for your time, your attendance today. Ladies, what do y'all have to do? We've got Bible study at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Okay, ladies, Bible study 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Yes, thank you, Donna. The Operation Christmas Child boxes are already up here. And some of you guys, I know, have already got some. So come get one, two, whatever. And when's the date before we do that?
November 8th.
Wow. Sooner than you might think. Because we're almost in November now. So get those. And I think the instructions are they in the box?
Yeah.
Actually in the box. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other announcements before we leave today?
Yes, today would have been Grand 70th in person.
Okay.
Amen.
Strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you.